Good morning. We have been exploring this theme of God's call on our lives. We further spoke about staying true to our call and walking worthy of our calling. Today I want to extend the point by encouraging us about our call to community as believers in Jesus Christ. The Greek word for church, ekklesia, describes a called out community, gathering or congregation. It was used to represent a community of believers who were called out by God. This word took on the meaning of all Christians in some contexts and of local gatherings of believers in other places. When a person trusts in Jesus for salvation, he becomes part of the universal body of Christ. Smaller groups of believers come together in local churches to worship God, to grow in their understanding of God's word, and to live out their lives in Christ in community. Paul describes this community of believers as, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Here, Peter sees believers everywhere as specially called or chosen by God for salvation. Not only are believers called, they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's own special people. You are called, chosen by God to belong to Him and to be a part of His community of believers. There is a general understanding of our calling in Christ and our call to community. Maybe this is a good time for me to mention that there is a positive side to community. One of the clear marks of being called in Christ is us being called to one another. Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 highlights that the original Christian community was known primarily for its devotion to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to prayer, and to loving one another. Jesus himself had promoted this sense of community when he says in John 13 verse 35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It is important to note that a community of believers is marked by the way people treat each other. The Bible instructs believers on how a Christian community can love one another. Believers are called to encourage one another, spur one another to love and good works, serve one another, instruct one another, honor one another, be patient with one another, and forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, and speak the truth to one another. So we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And Romans 12, 4-5, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." We belong to each other. We need each other. We are family. Each one help one. We are called to community. There is also a negative side to community, and this comes with a cost. The costly side to community involves risk, pain, disappointment, betrayal, and heartbreak. These are the tough stuff in our call to community that we as believers have to deal and contend with. Since we belong to each other and we are called to love each other, we have to deal with these matters as they arise. Today, we are of the view that since there are online churches and we can easily attend a service by the push of a button, we can pick and choose which community or church to be a part of. It is easy when things are presented well-polished and edited, and just the right songs are being sung. We hear the right music and they are preaching exactly what we want to hear. And somehow we think that this is the place I must worship or that I belong to. But we have to be aware of this false sense of community. We cannot all pick and choose which local church we belong to at every chance. The moment something happens that rubs us the wrong way, we leave. And because the church down the road seems to be better and those believers warm and friendly, we go there. Please bear this in mind. We are called to be a part of the community of believers, universally the body of Christ, and locally, meaning our local church. We will have fellowships and heartbreaks, but our aim is to love one another as Jesus commanded us to do. Allow me to share with you some insights on our call to community as we continue to reflect. I will share just two. The first is that community requires intimacy. Community requires intimacy. Intimacy is a close familiar bond between two or more people. Jesus prayed in John 17 verse 11, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Real community is costly. Intimacy is costly because it is not easy, because it makes us vulnerable. Real community is rooted in intimacy. Intimacy isn't created overnight. It takes time. You do not throw away intimacy over trivial matters. You fight for it because it matters. It also means then that intimacy in community is intentional. We work to love each other because despite the hurt and the harm done, and even when it is easy to love, we still strive to love each other. One of the examples I love about community is found in 2 Timothy 4. But the whole matter of intimacy starts in chapter 1, where we see Paul expressing gratitude to God and shares how he continually prays for Timothy. He longs to see him again, recalling Timothy's sincere faith, first seen in his grandmother and mother. Paul encourages Timothy to rekindle the spiritual gift he received. He even called him his son. From this, we are seeing the love, attention, and care Paul has for Timothy. This is intimacy. Earnestly praying with and for each other, expressing your love, encouraging, following each other's example, with the chief end of glorifying Christ, looking out for each other by warning of imminent dangers or pitfalls. This is intimacy in community. The second insight to community is that community requires commitment. Community requires commitment. Throughout this book, we see Paul naming a list of persons who went away from him. A few he did send on missions, but persons deserted him and even caused him harm. These were persons who were close to him at some point. The point is, there was a commitment by Paul to community and to the costly idea of community, regardless of the heartache and disappointment faced. For us, can we take this approach? Can we commit to our call to community despite the challenges we face and will have to endure? Paul was also encouraging Timothy about the challenges that will arise while doing ministry. He said, "In the last days, perilous times will come. There will be people who come into community with the end of causing harm than good. Watch out for those people. In fact, stay away from them, but instead commit to preaching and teaching the true undiluted word of God, that you may win souls and keep adding to the kingdom." We have to remain committed to our call to community. Despite the challenges, the setbacks, the hurt, and the pain, we have to be committed because it is Christ Jesus who has called us to be a part of his community. And as we are called, we know it will involve intimacy and commitment. Let us follow the example of Jesus, who, despite knowing the betrayal and denial of his own disciples, he still broke bread and washed their feet and was willing to die for their sins. Let it be that as we continue to commit to our call to community, we will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.